This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Ladies and gentlemen, Ramadan Kareem. Wishing you a blessed Ramadan. Thank you for joining us in this event today. First, I would like to present a short video about Jannah Institute.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا.
To a believing heart, Jannah represents tranquility, happiness, comfort, and ultimate success. In the life of this world, Jannah is experienced by a heart that knows Allah, a heart that lovingly submits to His command and surrenders to His decree. The essential prerequisite to taste Jannah in this life or in the hereafter is ilm, knowledge.
10 years ago, few women get together in St. Louis, Missouri, in fact, in my house, and we decided that the time has come in to start educating and spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the women of St. Louis to start with. And we had a goal that inshallah, by His will and by His grace, this will include women everywhere. A year later, Jannah Institute was born.
So what is Jannah Institute? It is a global effort to bring the light of sacred knowledge to the homes and hearts of Muslim women all over the world. Whether it is through the Year of Knowledge program, through the Umrah tours, through the on-site programs, through the Tuesday night Khatiraz, and it's one of a handful of platforms run by women for women.
The foundation of the study of Islam is the study of the Quran. Jannah Institute presents three essential aspects of Quranic studies: reciting the Quran in a proper and beautiful manner, exploring the linguistic beauty of the Quran, and learning to live the message of the Quran in our daily lives. The programs we offer stem from these three foundations.
And we have two departments. By 2020, these departments became very well established. We had Quranic Studies Department and we have Islamic Studies. 2020. That's when this Islamic study department becomes structured, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walillahi alhamd, gifted us with a program called Year of Knowledge, what every Muslim woman should learn.
Jannah Institute, I have found, has been the best when it comes to female scholars who knows exactly what we're going through. They have equipped themselves with the skills, with the knowledge they need to be able to teach us in English remotely, literally anywhere around the world. And it would be a very difficult road if we had to do this on our own.
We've touched the lives of over 1,300 students from across the world. From youth age 8 to seniors, our programs cater to women of every age.
Our goal, what we absolutely, our dream, is to touch the hearts of all the Muslim women wherever they are, equip them, that's the most important thing. It's give them the strength and the ability to succeed both in this dunya and the hereafter. And this only comes through the study of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. I personally, and on behalf of all the Jannah Institute team, I invite you to check out our website, join our social media. We have a YouTube channel, and also we have an Instagram and Facebook channel. And in that, we share a lot of information and a lot of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a tool to spread the knowledge of His deen and the knowledge about Him. Subhanah. Jazakumullah khairan.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest for this evening will be Dr. Haifa Yunus. She's an American board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist with roots from Iraq. She's the founder and chairman at Jannah Institute and the Islamic Center of Irvine. Dr. Haifa graduated from the Mecca Institute of Islamic Studies and Al-Huda Quran Memorization School, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, where she completed the memorization of the Quran. Currently, she lives and works in the United States and teaches various Islamic studies courses with the focus of the purification of heart tazkiyah. Please join me welcoming Dr. Haifa on stage.
بسم الله السلام عليكم. We're not fasting, right? السلام عليكم. Yes, بسم الله. It's only the first night of Ramadan. We didn't even start yet. Are you excited? You don't look like it. How many of you went to Taraweeh? What happened to the rest? Tired? Don't miss it. So let's start. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Just to اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For those of you who are tired, I actually landed at 5 p.m. after 15 and a half hours flight. So I think you have more energy than I do, right? Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tests us and bless us at the same time. How many of you know Arabic in this room? Not too bad. Okay. So there's a statement I want you all to remember. It's called Kullu mihnatin minha wa kullu minhatin mihna. It's a very unique words in Arabic. Every test is a gift, and every gift is a test. So every test is a gift, and every gift is a test. Yeah. How do you do with it? How do you respond to it? So if somebody gets sick, that's a test. But if I respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with being patient and accepted, and if you are at that level, you are happy and enjoying that Allah tests you, that's absolutely a gift. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you what you want, whatever is in your mind, dunya-wise, gives you the job, give you the car, give you the wife, the husband, the child, and then you start disobeying Allah because of what He gave you, then that's a test. So everything in life is, it depends how I receive it and how I respond to it. Why did I say this? Because how do you look at Ramadan? How many of you think Ramadan, let's be honest, this is a nice group, a lot of young people, I like that. So how many of you think Ramadan is really a challenge? It's difficult. Come on, let's be honest. Yani, who's going to say it's easy, fast 16 hours, and then come home, and then run to Taraweeh, and then you go home, and enough sleep, you didn't, by the time you slept, it's time for Suhoor, then it's Fajr, and then if you miss Fajr, you're really feeling bad, and then if you're working or a student, you have to go to work, and life doesn't change. I don't know about Qatar, but definitely where I live, nothing changed. Nothing. Who cares, literally, if you're fasting? That's how it is. In my hospital, I'm the only Muslim. So what? It's my problem. My problem to fast, or my problem to find a place I pray, or my problem to find a place to eat. And if the patient decides to deliver at time of Maghrib, somebody's going to put the date in my mouth as I am delivering her. Nothing stops. That's the test, or that's a gift? It depends how I look at it. Because if I look at it, and this is how I want you to think, if I look at it, how lucky I am that Allah chose me from this 1,000 people who work in this hospital, that I am the only one who He chose me, is not me, to be a Muslim, let alone to be a practicing Muslim, let alone to be able to fast, let alone to show everybody, as I am working and delivering a woman, to put a date in my mouth, how special I am. Then if I look at it this way, then I am, then this is a gift. If I look at it and I say, يعني you didn't have, the baby didn't come until Maghrib, يعني why not after 3 hours? And I start huffing and puffing. And I was like, I think I shouldn't fast. I really don't have energy. All the complaints, then that's a test. So Ramadan, and if you look at the title, how do you make Ramadan the best? Has anyone thought of this? Really? How do you make it the best? You make your niyyah. Do you work hard on your ibadah? So you do khitmah 2 times. I am just actually saying what she's saying. I didn't say yes or no. طيب, so khitmah 2 times. Well, I don't know why not 3, but let's take 2. Okay. طيب. So basically the idea to do more. طيب, and so you give charity every day. So you are grateful for everything Allah gives you. Will that make my Ramadan the best? Why you're changing your mind? Everything she said is very good. So look at it this way. You're absolutely right. How about somebody is blind, can read the Quran? How about if someone doesn't have money? Well, there's a lot of people doesn't have money, right? Literally, as we say there, from one paycheck to one paycheck. They barely have enough to put food on the table, right? How about if somebody can't go to the masjid? What about somebody who can't fast? So their Ramadan is not going to be the best? Did you get my point? What is number one that will make your Ramadan the best? Everything you said is perfect, by the way. But I want it to be general, and I want you to start thinking deeper. What will make my Ramadan the best? Say that again. So Salah 5 times a day. Well, half of the Muslims, I wouldn't say all of the Muslims, but at least half of the Muslims, especially in Ramadan, will pray 5 times a day. What is number one that will make my Ramadan the best? Say that again. Clean my mind. You're coming close. Let me give you number one. Why do we fast? That's the question you have all to remember. Everybody will tell me, of course we fast, it's Ramadan. Of course I'll fast because Allah told me. Of course I fast because how can I not fast? And you can put all this. Number one that will make this Ramadan, and bi-idhnillah it will, different than any other Ramadan, is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you with Allah? Regardless of where He puts you. That's why I give you the example of me. Or the example of the person who's built, let's say someone who is building a builder, a worker, a janitor. And he or she works in the night. No taraweeh. Doesn't have money to pay. By the time she gets to suhoor, she's dead. So I don't know if she can even finish the khatmah. Does that mean she cannot, or he, cannot have the best Ramadan? No. Number one, or I will say 2 things, is your relationship with Allah is number one. And number two, what is Ramadan for you? What does Ramadan mean? We are gradually, I don't know about here, it's my first time in Qatar in Ramadan, but we're gradually moving the Ramadan to become, I'm going to be very honest with you here, rituals. It's becoming rituals. You know what ritual mean? Of course, Ramadan, of course, I'm going to fast. I'm going to be hungry all day. I'm going to get into, what do we have for futur? After futur, I'm dead tired. I'm going to go and take a nap. Maybe not, I'm going to go to Taraweeh. I go to Taraweeh, I have no idea what the Imam is reading. I finished 8, I just leave, and we become robot. And that's one of the main reasons. If you see all, I wouldn't say all, majority of the Muslims, the night of 27, any place in the world, and I have been in many places in the world, including Mecca and Medina. The Muslims, you look at them and you say, they are the abid of Allah. These are the servants of Allah. Everyone is sobbing and crying. Everybody raising their hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I right? And if the khatma is on the 29th, the same scenario. On the 29th, everybody is running to the masajid. I was like, why? Well, it's the khatma of the Quran. Why? It's the khatma of the Quran. Beautiful. He finished, the imam. And you finished. And you go to the Eid Salah in the morning. What is the change? What's the change on the day of Eid? If I am wrong, correct me. What is this? Zero. I go to Eid with the many intentions. Allah knows. I want to dress the best. I want to show off. I want to meet people. I'm going to start looking down. I'm going to start backbiting. I'm going to start doing this. I probably not go to to Eid, and I will say, you know what? It's a sunnah. And then I go and I enjoy Eid, and I do the same things I have done before Ramadan. Then this was not the best Ramadan, and Ramadan did nothing to me. You know what is the best name I personally use for Ramadan? How many of you exercise? Exercise daily. How much you love it? Hated. Right? Why do I have to go to the gym? You have to go to the gym. But you go. Anybody have run marathon or trained for something really hard? You train. I talked recently to somebody, a woman who ran the marathon for breast cancer, 23 miles. She ran. And I said, how much you trained for it? She said, 6 months. Ramadan is a training camp. Allah doesn't want me to be hungry. Allah doesn't want me to be thirsty. Allah doesn't want me to be tired, standing up and my legs hurt, you know, when the imam starts reading long and I was like, when is he going to say Allahu Akbar? That's not what Allah wants from me. He wants to see me, and you all said it. لَعَلَّكُمْ What? تَتَّقُون. What is تَتَّقُون? That's why we are fasting. Yes, it's an obligation, but the main reason, حِكْمَةُ الصِّيَامِ, the wisdom behind fasting, is so I will be more Allah conscious. This is for me the best way of translating taqwa. It's not Allah fear. ليست خوف. So here I am, 30 days, 30 days, whatever goal I put. And then at the Eid, where is the taqwa? What happened to it? You come to Eid for Isha, the masjid is empty. Empty. Man and woman. What happened to the people? Literally, I look and I said, yesterday, you couldn't find a place to park. Then I am a person who didn't put a goal for Ramadan, and I didn't change, because that's every year. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ And then what did he say? Look at the verses in the Quran. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ It's a few days. It's just 30 days. Today is the first night. Remember this. I'm not going to be with you. And you're going to say, Subhanallah, tomorrow is Eid. Wow. This was very quick. What did happen to me? What is the one thing? This is the first goal everybody has to do. You're going to put a goal that you will take it with you after Ramadan. If you finish two khatma in Ramadan and the whole year you did zero Quran, what is the point? Did you get me? This is how you make your Ramadan the best. That I am going to change in my relationship with Him. Don't worry about people now. If you change with Allah, you will change with people. Your mind will be more focused on Him. You'll be much nicer to people. Not because people are nice, because He's seeing me. And I'm going to be in front of Him. And He's going to ask me. This is how you make your Ramadan the best. Change your relationship with Allah. When you are fasting and you're hungry and you are thirsty and you're tired, because one thing keeps you going. It's a very famous hadith. You've heard it, I'm sure, many times, and you keep hearing it in Ramadan. What is that hadith that keeps you going? As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Fasting is for me. And who's saying? Who's saying me? I want to hear it. Say it loud. You are fasting for Allah. You're not fasting because you're in Qatar or because, of course, it's Ramadan. Everybody else is fasting. Then you will not change. And when you travel, when you go out, when you things change. And when I'm so tired, that's half an hour. You have it very easy here. The Maghrib here at 6 o'clock. I left yesterday. Maghrib was 7:10. And by the end of Ramadan, gets 8:10. Taraweeh starts at 9:30. We finish at 11 or 11:30. I have to be in the hospital at 7. They don't care it's Ramadan. But when I keep going through this difficulty, and I keep saying to myself, and I look at him, and I say, you know how tired I am. You know how difficult is this. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. And I want to do it for you. Not because you are going to reward me, and you will. And this is one of the few things where Allah did not tell me how much. Al-hasana bi'ashrati amthaliha. We know that. Every good deed times 10, except sawm and sabr, because they are both together, and being patient. So when you are, from tomorrow, this morning, when you're going to do your suhoor, you're going to keep telling yourself, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. I am fasting for you, and I want the reward from you. I don't care what people say. I care less if people know I am fasting or not. This is how it's going to make it different. This is what's going to give you the energy, the focus. Everything else becomes less important. Very less important. When I came in, and may Allah reward Maryam, I was not happy with her. And she noticed it right away. And I said, where is the plan for Taraweeh in my schedule? She said, Doctora, it's very tight. I said, I don't care. Even if it was 2 rukat. Didn't you put it at 9:30? Why at 9:30? So we have enough time to go for Taraweeh. When you put Allah number one, and when you put his symbols number one, Taraweeh is his symbols. Masjid is his symbol. Quran is his symbol. Not because everyone reads Quran. It's his book. It's his words. It's his symbol. I'm doing it for him. I'm reading for him. And I want the reward from him. Your Ramadan will be different. It will be the best. You don't care what food they put in front of you. Doesn't matter. I did it. I fasted for him. You made me do it. You made me live. This is the first thing in my first rukah as I did it. And I said, you gave me the life till the first night. How many of us were praying this? Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Allahumma balighna. Didn't we all did it? Ya Allah, make me live till Ramadan. Ya Allah, make me live till Ramadan. You all did it? Alhamdulillah. What did you feel? What did you say to him? Who made you live? Why do you take it granted? How many people died today as we speak? Allah knows how many janazah they prayed. Change your relationship with Allah. I think this is the most important thing the Muslim ummah need to change. You know, we all talk about where are we? We need to improve. What happened to us Muslims? All this. Number one that needs to change. And that's what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. What did he do in Mecca? What did the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam, do in Mecca? What did he do? You really need to think. You know, we all read the seerah. We all learn the seerah. But we don't learn the essence of the seerah. What did he do to the people of Quraysh? What did he say? There was no salah, by the way. There was no fasting. Ramadan was in Medina when it became obligation. Do you know that? Hajj was at the end. We all fight to go to Hajj. Hajj was at the end. Zakah came later. Even salah came later. What did he do in the beginning? Till salah became obligation. What did he do? I want to hear it. Change the relationship of the human being with Allah. What did he say? أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Worship Allah, you have no other God. Every prophet, alayhim salam, but the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam, specifically, what changed Sayyidina Umar? Umar, right? He killed his daughter. He buried his daughter. What changed him? His relationship with Allah. So number one, this Ramadan, today is the first night. Alhamdulillah, Allah brought me and made me speak this. This was not what I planned, but when I looked at you, I changed it completely. That's why I'm not looking at my phone. Honestly, change your relationship with Allah. Go to Taraweeh for Him. Give your place in Taraweeh for someone else for Him. Listen to the Quran because it's His words, not because the Muqra reads very well. And when the Muqra doesn't read very well, I leave. Be nice because that's what he loves, not because people are looking at me. So number one goal, to change Ramadan, to make it the best, you need to change the goal. Most of us get to Ramadan and leave, we have no goal. Maybe this, maybe. The goal number one, myself, in my relationship with Allah, I'm going to be different. Two, we all want to. Some of us say, Allah knows how truthful we are, all of us, myself number one. You want to be the true servant of Allah, Abdullah. Are you? How many of us say, Ana amatullah or Ana Abdullah? I am the servant of Allah, he or she. Who can raise their hand confidently in front of Allah? When I'm going to be standing and you'll be standing, I come to him and says, Ana amatuka ya Rabbi. I lived as your servant, ya Allah. Show me hands. Everybody's very scared. You don't see it, I see you. Just one person there. Everybody else is like, wow, that's a big statement. Is it? Ma hiya Abdullah? What is amatullah? That's what Siyam teaches me. What fasting teaches me. Can I ask you a question and answer me? Why do you not eat? I looked at, and I think your Fajr is 4:29. Am I right? Right? So why can't you put a sip of water at 4:30? It's 1 minute. What is the big deal? Why? Why? I want to hear it. Why? Why not 4:30? Because he said so. Right? And why don't you put the date in your mouth at 5? I don't know, what time is Maghrib here? 5:14? 4:0. So why don't you put your date at 5:39? We all are sitting, having the date, have the gahwa, you probably have the soup, and keep looking at the watch. And then someone tells you, time, and you say, no, 1 more minute. Why? That's what he's teaching you and me. Submit to his will. He said so. That's what Ramadan teaches you and me. If I am going to get to Ramadan with the goal, after 30 days, whatever Allah say, I am going to do, then this was the best Ramadan. Exactly the same way when I am, the date, I am eating it at 5:40 and not 5:39, because he said so, especially if I'm alone and nobody is seeing me and I'm thirsty and I'm dead, then you can, after 30 days, whatever he tells you, when he tells you don't look at that haram, when he tells you don't download that thing, when he tells you dress properly, when he tells you read my words, then you are trained. 30 days you did it. If you do this, then your Ramadan is the best. We don't look at it this way. That's what needs change. I'm going to repeat the same word because that's what I kept saying myself, 15 hours in the plane. You need to look at Ramadan differently. Why it is called Ramadan? Does anyone know? Anybody? Why it's called Ramadan? I don't know. They told us Ramadan. It's in the Quran, Ramadan, right? That's the meaning. But why it is called Ramadan? Say, that's the month. The Arabs, called the month. Why it's called Sha'ban? Why it's called Dhul-Hijjah? They called it even before Islam. They called it Ramadan because that month, when they were naming the months, Ramadan came before it became the month of fasting in the summer. And the name of it, Shiddatul Har, the name of it is severe or very extreme heat. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. This will teach you why I'm fasting. What do I want to get? One, what does sawm mean? As a word, what does it mean? I can't hear you. Don't Google. Don't Google, you'll find it. What? It's preventing yourself from something, getting very close. It's actually to withhold. Don't you know the famous verse in the Quran? Inni nadartu lirrahmani sawma. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ Sayyida Maryam, when she was pregnant, and she's going to go, after she delivered, and she's going to go to her people carrying a baby, what a disaster. So Sayyidina Isa, it's in the Quran, told her, right? Don't speak. And the word used in the Quran is sawm. Fasting is to withhold. So remember these two. Ramadan from Ramadan, Shiddatul Har. And Sawm is to withhold. You know what they call it, the Arab? Samat al-Rih. The wind is fasting. What does that mean? The wind is hungry? The wind, when the wind is blowing and suddenly the wind stops, they say Samat al-Rih. The wind stopped. Samat al-Khayl, they call it. The horses fasting, how is that? When they are running, and suddenly they stop. They said, Samat al-Khayl. Are you with me? Now what does that mean to me? As a abd of Allah, ama of Allah, always connect this together. He told me, he used the word sawm. I didn't, right? And he used the word Ramadan, Allah. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام. Allah used the word fasting. Allah used the word Ramadan. I gave you the meanings. What does he want from me? Two things. Number one, and let's talk Siyam, withhold. Not food and drink only, which everybody does it, ولله الحمد. What does he want from me? Number two, and there's a hadith about that. And that's how you know your fasting is working. Hold your tongue. Because there's a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فلا حاجة لله في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. If the person who's fasting did not stay away from lying, from backbiting, from accusing others, Allah does not need their hunger and their thirst. That doesn't mean don't fast, but the essence of fasting, you didn't get it. You need to remember this. In every act of worship, there is a minimum requirement, and there is more, and there is more, and there is more. Look at the Taraweeh in Mecca. I don't know if you just looked at it. Millions, it's jammed packed the haram. jammed back. I just looked at it. Everybody is standing. Everybody prayed Maghrib. Is everybody will get the same reward? Yes or no? No, for sure. But everybody in front of Allah, he will say, you prayed. You're not going to be taken accountable, you didn't pray. Of course, I'm sure everybody fulfilled the requirement. So in Ramadan, when I not eat or drink and stay away from intimate relationship, in that time, then we all fasted. So when I'm in front of Allah, again, remember, your focus is on Allah. When I'm in front of Allah, I said, Ya Rabbi, I fasted Ramadan. He said, you did. Now let's come to the reward. How much I'm going to get and how much you will get. I look at you and I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you Jannat al-Firdaus. Well, she fasted and I fasted. What is the difference? Did you get it? Did you get it? Quality and quantity, both. Sawm done, we all fasted. He's not gonna tell me you didn't fast, you didn't fulfill the obligation. I did, but I wanna be Jannat al-Firdaus. How many of you want a house on the beach since you are in Qatar? I mean, the view from the hotel, I sent it to my sister, she said, are you in the Bahamas? I was like, no, I'm in Qatar. So we all want the best. And there's nothing wrong with it. As long as it's halal, why not? Why not? Right? The best car, the best job, the best dress. Really? As long as it's halal. Why not in Akhirah? Why not in Jannat al-Firdaus? Why not Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is my neighbor? Why not Sayyidina Umar is my other neighbor? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and I see him. To get there, that's the difference. So everybody is fasting, but mine is different. And how is that? You claim what you claim. Everything is written. He's going to come and see tomorrow's fasting, all of us. Check. They fulfilled the requirement. They didn't eat. They didn't drink. They stayed away from the intimate relationship. Check. That's the minimum. We just passed. What is going to make it A plus? Or VVIP? What is going to make it? Is there something called VVIP fasting? Yes or no? Alhamdulillah, perfect. And how is that? So Imam al-Ghazali put it beautifully. Some of you may have heard this, but I'm going to explain it and then we're going to see practical. He said, there is sawmul umum. This, the fasting of the ordinary people, everyone, which we all do. Don't eat, don't drink, and no relationship. In a certain time, done. That's everybody. Check. Then the next one, Sawmul Khusus, the VIP, the special. What do you have to do to be a VIP? Not with Allah, in dunya, in this life. You have to be special. You have done something, or you have a certain things not everybody has, right? So how can I be a VIP with Allah? My name, my family, the way I look, how much money I have, the bank account, whatever I do, please forgive me, weigh nothing in the sight of Allah. You all know that. What's gonna make my fasting a VIP? And I didn't come yet to the VVIP. There is one, by the way. But let's get the VIP first. The hadith I just shared with you will move you to a VIP. When I'm so upset, and there's so many things that gets us upset, right? And I'm not going to say a single word. I'm not going to respond in nothing. And I'm going to say, I'm fasting. I held my tongue. Then I am moving to the VIP. If I do this the whole 30 days, for sure, I got the tag of the VIP. Sawmul Jawarih, they call it. When my limbs fast. And the biggest one that needs to fast is tongue. Second one in Ramadan. It's so painful, but it's reality. What do we do after Taraweeh when we get home? Especially on a Friday, tomorrow is off. What do we do? Most of the people, not here, in general. What do they do? Sit on that couch, eating or drinking. Halal, nothing wrong with that. But doing what? Come on. Don't you do this in Qatar? I'm sure you do. Watch TV. And what's on that screen? You want to be VIP? This has to completely close from anything that is haram. Sawmul Ayn, they call it. My eyes are fasting. My ears are fasting. My hand, what I'm texting, what I'm posting, what am I sharing? Fasting. Where I am going, my legs have to fast. Simple way to tell you what you are doing is right or wrong. Pleasing, don't say right or wrong, may Allah forgive me. Pleasing to him, not pleasing to him. Let's use this word. So we're focused on him. Ask yourself. I ask myself. When I'm about to text, this is very common these days. Is that pleasing to you, Ya Allah? If the answer is yes, do it. If you don't know the answer, or you know the answer, don't do it. Otherwise, the VIP card is going to be removed, or it's not going to be delivered. When you're sitting on that couch, watching, ask yourself this. He's seeing you. He's seeing me. Is that something he is pleased with? If the answer is no, close your eyes or move. Otherwise, the card will not be delivered. That's why Rasul ﷺ is a beautiful hadith. I know how many of you have heard this. How many of you have parents who are older and still alive? Older parents, show me hands, because that's included in this hadith. So they saw him, alayhi salatu wasalam, getting up on the minbar, and he's saying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have not heard you do this. What is it? What is this Ameen for? And he said, Jibreel came to me and said the following, Raghima anfuh, raghima anfuh, raghima anfuh. May he or she be humiliated. Humiliated, humiliated. Three times. And raghima anfuh in the Arabic language is when your nose, somebody takes your head and puts your nose on the dust. That's the figure of speech, humiliated. For what? He said three things. These three things, if you do or you don't do, then he will be humiliated and say, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ameen. Ouch. Number one, من أدرك أبواه عند الكبر ولم يدخل بهما الجنة. When he or she lives and with her parents, or lives to see her parents or his parents, older age specifically, and he or she did not get to Jannah because of serving them. Because serving your parents when they are older is very difficult. You're busy, you have so many things, and especially if they get sick, older, Alzheimer, you name it. So he said that person who Allah blessed him, remember what I first started saying? Every test is a gift, or every gift can be a test. This is one of the gifts that people look at it and says, I can't tell you how hard it is to take care of my mother. I have to say the word five times before she understands. I have to take care of her with all the other details. So he said this one. Second, who my name, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, dhukirtu inda walam yusalli alayhi. When my name was mentioned in front of him and he was not, he or she did not say alayhi salatu wassalam. So what does this have to do with Ramadan now? The third one. وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ The meaning of أَدْرَكَ وَخَرَجَ يعني lived and lived throughout the whole Ramadan and his sins were not forgiven. That's what you make Ramadan different. one of the goals, my sins will be forgiven. I'm going to say this to myself. And how is that? Number one, don't refill. Don't refill sins in Ramadan. And every sin you have, you're going to do the good deeds, that is removed. That gets you to the VIP. The VIP has to be someone, she or he, their good deeds is way higher than their sins. So what is the point? I see this all the time. Please forgive me. But I see it wherever I traveled. In some of the holiest cities, they fasted all day. After Taraweeh, people are smoking. People are smoking shisha publicly. And this is haram. What is the point? How can I, and I say this to my patients who smokes. I said, you did it for 16 hours. What happened afterward? Every bad deed, and this is a plan, practical. You go home tonight. Write it down. Don't show it to anybody. Allah knows. What is your sins? What is your biggest problem? Everybody is different. Could be the tongue. Some people have no problem with the tongue. Could be the eye. The eyes. Could be the ears. Could be the mouth. Could be the food. Could be the private part. Allah knows. Write it down. Analyze it. Ask Him to help you. Beg Him. Is what I was just talking to Maryam before I came in. Beg Allah. Have you ever begged Him? Show me hands if you've ever begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sure. Have you ever begged Him to get to Jannah? Have you ever begged Him to make your grave a piece of Jannah? Have you ever begged Him that He will not deprive you from seeing Him? That's what we need to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dunya beg, it's okay. But let's put Akhirah first. Ramadan, best Ramadan. Change the focus. Change your relationship with Allah. Change the way you do things. Analyze your sins. Remove it. And don't refill. The fasting of the special of the special. Are you ready? There is no way you're going to get to VVIP without getting to VIP. It doesn't. You can't jump. What is that? What should I do to become the VVIP? I'll fly on a private jet to Allah. How is that? Have you ever flown on a private jet? Have you ever been in a place? Have you been to Rawda alone? If Allah gives it to you, ask Him one thing. Like you get me to Rawda alone, get me to Jannah alone. Open it and let me go. You have to be special. So what is that special? VVIP. صوم خواص الخواص, they call it. What should I do? The thought even you don't know. I don't blame you. Because we don't learn these things, subhanAllah. We all learn about what is... Yani, how many times you have heard this question? I refuse to answer now. Is the eye drops break my fast? How many times you've heard this, right? Is the inhaler breaks my fast? Injection, right? Every Ramadan. Yet I want someone to ask this question. What will make my fasting special? What will make me in front of Allah? And He say, look at her, look at him. And everybody else is looking. What did he do? So what is the special fasting? Special of the special. Anyone? Any idea? Yes, I think somebody raised their hand. Yeah, go ahead. Bringing people close to Allah? I would love to say yes, but the answer is no. It's nothing to do with people. Nothing to do with people. Yes. Fasting of the heart. And what is that? Have you ever thought the heart will fast? هو احنا الايز to fast يا ربي. Fasting of the heart, they say. What you mentioned in the beginning, when the heart, I begged Allah to give it to me. I really beg Allah, because I don't think I can ever do it myself, that your heart will have nothing in it in the month of Ramadan except Him, except Allah. Your feelings, your fear, your love, your attachment, what you want to do is all around Him. Khawasul khawas. Then your Ramadan is special. Did you get the point? You probably didn't expect me to speak this way, but this is what it is. To be special, to get the trophy, to be recognized, to get the medal, to raise your, you just finished your World Cup, to be the Argentina that will carry the hold up. How happy the Argentinians were, you probably cannot even think of it. Imagine you are raising that trophy in front of Allah because you not only won 16 or 32 teams, you beat them, but you beat it yourself. And you were able to get your heart under your control and only speak what pleases Allah, the heart before the tongue, and think what pleases Allah and do what pleases Allah. And nobody else, that's what I said, nothing to do with people. Our problem is people. Nothing to do with people. If you have, you know what I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One day. I was like, just give me one day like that. One day. Though, have anybody here done i'tikaf before? Real i'tikaf. I'm not talking about sleepover in the masjid. You know that i'tikaf, sleepover in the masjid? I'm going with my phone, with my food, with my cup of coffee, and all my friends next to me. The imam finish, and then I start talking, you know? And I was doing i'tikaf. That's not i'tikaf, that's sleepover in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, at least sleepover in the masjid. What is i'tikaf? It's actually related to sawm. That's why some scholars will teach you there's no i'tikaf without fasting. You know that? There's some thoughts, they say there's no i'tikaf without fasting. It's only in Ramadan. What is i'tikaf? It's the same concept. You disengage from everything. That's why, how did he make i'tikaf, alayhi salatu wasalam? In a corner in the masjid, and he, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they put a small tent for him, and he entered the tent and stayed in it. Did he have his phone or social media or post, or I'm in the masjid in i'tikaf or taking selfie? If you can, the reason I brought this up, because this is how you will teach your heart to do the fasting of the special, special of the special. When you don't talk, you don't see any of this, the only thing you do, and that's actually the essence of i'tikaf, is you pray. And you read Quran. Some scholars tell you, even there is no teachings or no lectures. It's absolutely cutting off completely from people for 10 days. If you have done that, you will see after 5 days, it takes you five, sometimes less, sometimes more, to completely, the junk in the heart, the junk of the thoughts are out. So make your Ramadan special by number one. Have the intention. I want it to be special. Really, Ya Rabbi, I want this to be different. It doesn't matter who's around me. It doesn't matter what they do to me. What they're going to do. All the temptations. It's going to be special. One. Two. Your focus on your relationship with Allah. Do it for Him only. Not for anybody else. Don't go for iftar. Not because you don't like them. That's not for Allah. On the contrary, you should go. Because you don't like them. That's hard on you. Go to the masjid because it's His house, not because everybody else is going or it's Ramadan. Do the khatma, two or three or four, not because it's Ramadan and khatma, because it's His words. It's His words. I'm going to spend my hours with Him, with Him. Keep reminding yourself of this. You will fail, for sure. We all will. Don't worry. Get up. Ask Him in your sujood, I failed, Ya Allah, today. I didn't do what You want me to do. But You can help me. And He will. keep going. Keep going and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan, alhamdulillah, he did. Ya Allah, ballighna nihayat Ramadan. Ya Rabbi, ameen. Allahumma ballighna laylat al-qadr, the night of al-qadr. And it is not the 27 or the 29. I have no idea. And it could be the 27 here, but it's the 26 somewhere else. That's why it's the last 10 nights. Don't you miss the last 10 nights. You see the masjid, the 23rd is full, 24th is empty. How do you know? And I always say this to myself, did Allah send you a message saying that today is the Nayat al-Qadr? Don't. Be a hunter of a good deed in Ramadan. Hunter. Put your camera on every angle. That's a good deed. Let me run. This person needs water. I'm running. This person needs to pray on a chair. I'm going to go and get her a chair. My mom is tired. I'm going to cook today. I'm going to make the table. I'm going to wash the dishes. I am going to forgive somebody. I really don't like her, but Allah brought her in my face. I am going to forgive her because that pleases him. And I want the VVIP. Did you get my point? That's how it, these things, small things, small things. رُبَّ صَائِمٍ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَوْمِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ وَالتَّعَبُ. There could be a person who's fasting, have nothing, got nothing but thirst and hunger. And person who's standing in salah at night has nothing out of it except tiredness and lack of sleep. We don't want that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us and help us to practice what we are learning. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. I think I passed the time and no one stopped me. I think so. Wow. Is it 10:30? La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Already. Jazakillahu khair. Yes. Do we have time for questions? Yes? Do you still have energy for question and answers? Yes, okay. Alhamdulillah, bismillah. Yes.
It's all yours, doctor.
No, that's absolutely fine. I am jet lag. I'm not going to sleep, so I'm fine. Yes, go ahead. Do we have the mic?
Anyone have questions? So please feel free to raise your hand and our colleagues here will help you with it.
Hello.
Salam alaikum. What does hello mean? I have no idea. This is what I tell. This is what I tell everyone in the States, Muslims, of course. I was like, "What is hello?" Yes.
Salam alaikum wa rahmah.
Yeah. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Can I ask about? يعني,
speak in Arabic and I'll translate. It's okay.
فضل حفظ القرآن. حافظ القرآن. فضل.
Okay. So, what is the virtue of memorizing the Quran? Subhanallah. We just said it. Just said it before we came in. Virtues of memorizing the Quran. So many virtues. Al-mahiru bil-Quran ma'a safarati al-kiram. The person who knows Quran very well. And this is specifically for the Huffaz. Their status is with the safar al-kiram, the honorable angels. Do you want to be with them?
I am. One. Inshallah.
Ya Rabbi, ameen. I didn't finish. This is one. Wait. The other one is that you will put a crown on the head of your parents. And the parents will ask on Day of Judgment, Bima ya Rabbi, Allah will make them wear crown. And they say, Ya Rabbi, Bima, why? What did we do? And he said, Bihifzi waladika lil-Quran. Because your child, he or she, doesn't matter. And actually, this is one of the reasons, the main reason, that I wanted to memorize the Quran. Because whatever you do, you can't pay back your parents. And you learn things after they passed away. What are you going to do for them? So this is, absolutely. And Ramadan is the best time to start. Personally, the surahs, that is the easiest for me now, although it's not the easy for in general, it's because I memorize them in Ramadan. So start. Tawakkal ala Allah. And Allah will make it easy. Bi-idhnillah. Yes.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah.
Shukran. بس أنا عندي سؤال إن أقل ناس for those people like nurses who care for the, like female nurses care for the male patient in Ramadan. So like...
So what kind of a nurse you are? What kind of a nurse? Like general?
General nurse? Yeah.
Yeah.
For example, like we in female nurse take care of the male patient in Ramadan, for example. You know, like the assessment that nurses has to do, there is a touching as well.
So why in Ramadan only? The
not
issue.
In Ramadan, in general.
In general, exactly. So what is the hukum? This is a fiqh. I was hoping questions be about Ramadan, but that's okay. I'll do that. Yani, can a woman be a nurse or a physician and see patients, male patients? So you have to divide it. Seeing male patients is allowed, preferably not, right? But there is certain areas where it's preferable, it's actually absolutely not, when there is an exposure of the private part. So for example, if the woman wants to be a urologist, a female, that's a little bit tough. That's why I asked what kind of a nurse. Because if you are a nurse in ICU, in the intensive care unit, so if you can be a nurse in labor and delivery, that's the best. That's the best, actually. Because now you are taking care of Muslim patients. Now you are doing a job that you will be rewarded for. Like OBGYN, it's a fardu kifaya. It's a collective duty on the Muslim community to have a female obstetrician gynecologist, a female nurse. So preferably not, but if you have to, darura, there is no other job, there is nobody else to bring money to the house, I have children I have to raise, I mean, al-darurat tubihul mahdurat. When the necessity makes prohibition allowed. May Allah make it easy. Yes, I think there's a question here. Yes. So only the left side, Ashabul Yameen, they don't need any question. MashaAllah. Okay.
Regarding the opening of, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum
salam. Regarding the opening of the fast, in Quran it is mentioned the word Layls, and we break the fast at Maghrib. So is it the right time or we need to wait a few minutes after Maghrib?
What is a Layl? So this is a good question. So we break the fast at Maghrib, sunset. But Allah in the Quran says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ and then continue the fast till al-layl. What is layl?
Night.
When does it start? Maghrib.
Sunset. Basically at sunset, they say twilight and then night comes in.
So sunset.
Sunset.
When the beginning of it is sunset. Al-layl, the way we think, and Allah mentioned it repeatedly in the Quran, is in the middle of the night, when it gets very dark. But the beginning of the layl, and this is the sunnah, a lot of the time, what things we learn is from the practice of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. When did he break his fast? At Maghrib. When did he stop eating? Before Fajr. Why? Because he used to tell Bilal. There is a hadith about that. Is when he will ask Bilal to go and call for Fajr. When did he stop eating before that? So they said about 50 ayat. They didn't have time at that time. They measure it by the how long it takes to read. He said 50 verses of the Quran between the last time he ate and he asked Bilal to go and call for the Adhan. So al-layl is when does it start? It's Maghrib. There's no question about spiritual and heart. It's all fiqh. But it's okay. Ashabul Yameen, Bismillah. Yes, yeah. Can we pass it? Yeah, start, maybe I can hear you. Wa alaikum salam. The fasting of the senses. Uh-huh.
In terms of abstaining from food, from water, from sleep, it's not a big issue. But the biggest issue is the thoughts, abstaining from thoughts, because we're human and you're like battling between yourself and, you know, you see something and someone really upsets you at work and it's like really trying hard not to think bad thoughts. So in terms of what's your best advice? I mean, normally I say, okay, shaitan is trying to, and that's
shaitan
what I teach
my kids. Chained. Don't blame it on shaitan. There's no shaitan in Ramadan.
Let's get the little shaitan.
The poor shaitan is right there.
But in terms of the way I convince myself, it's like, okay, now I'm really trying hard, God, I'm really trying hard to keep these thoughts and I'm trying to fast, look away, trying to abstain from bad thoughts, bad words or retaliating by answering that person by,
Okay, so listen, you're British? I love the accent. I know it from water. That's how you say it. If you're in America, they will tell you water. Everything is longer. So what do you do when you are in Salah and your thoughts are everywhere? We all struggle with that. So what I gave you today, don't you think you're going to leave tonight and you will tasawmin al-VVIP? It's not going to work this way. Otherwise, you know what? The famous hadith, I'm sure all of you know the concept. When one of the Sahaba, I don't remember his name, came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And he said, Ya Abu Bakr, when we are with the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's teaching us, we are thinking of the Jannah and the Day of Judgment and everything. Then we go home, and then we start eat and drink, and we are with our wives. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, I have the same problem. Let's go to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is how we are. When we are with you, we are in a way. When we leave, we are different. And he said, if you are outside, the same way you are with me, لصافحتكم الملائكة, the angels will shake your hands. Meaning, I have a goal. I'm not there yet. But I need to look at the goal and struggle to be there. Because my struggle, I'll be rewarded for it. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah said this, the last verse of Surah Al-Ankabut. Those who struggle for us, for our sake, we're going to guide them our way. And Allah is with those who act with excellence. So here I am. Someone at work says something really bothered me. I'm not going to be an angel, it doesn't affect me. That doesn't work. I'm going to be annoyed, but I'm going to keep saying, I'm fasting. Allahumma inni sa'im. What he taught us, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. فَإِنْ شَاتَمَهُ أَوْ فَإِنْ سَبَّهُ أَوْ شَاتَمَهُ. When someone curse you, what should you say? I'm fasting. And you keep the struggle. If you keep the struggle constantly, it becomes very easy. How many of you at work, when you were in England and you were fasting, and people look at you and says, fasting? Nothing? Not a sip of water? How about a cup of coffee? I will die, Dr. Yunus. I can't hear you how many times, tell you how many times I've heard this. And I say, I've been doing it since 10 years of age, and I'm still alive. It's a practice. So you're going to have the thoughts. First time it's going to be hard. Second time it'll be easier. And then you'll start brushing it. You know the famous statement we say in the state, been there, done that? That's how it is. But don't think right away, because that's how really shaitan outside Ramadan comes to you. And he say, you can't do it. Yes, you can. Just keep practicing. But you will not get to the fasting of the thoughts before fasting of the senses. Because the more my senses fast, the less thoughts in my brain. And may Allah make it easy. It's behind you.
Firstly, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Doctor, it's an absolute honor to hear you speak today.
Alhamdulillah.
I have a question regarding myself that I have just started praying. I would say I have just started getting closer to Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
And I want to really make this the best Ramadan possible.
Yes.
What would be your advice for someone like me, someone in my situation?
What an honest person is this. Everyone in this room, we need to make dua for her. How many of us have the courage to stand up in public and say, I just start praying? You know, the fact you are asking the question, you know what it tells me? Allah wants all goodness for you.
Inshallah.
I mean it. Because this is how you need to know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates. He wants to see it. He wants to see you want to change. He can change you right away. But he wants to see you. You know that famous hadith? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if my servant comes walking, Allah comes running, what does that mean? That's what it means. What you need to do is, number one, is be grateful that he made you start praying. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I'll give you more. So that's number one. Number one, I am going to be grateful. Rabbi. And I talk to Allah this way. You made me realize that salah is so important. Keep me going. One. Now you made me fast. Inshallah, you will be fasting tomorrow. Keep talking to him. Number one. Number two, back to the first thing she said. Keep doing a lot of good deeds. اتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها. Every bad deed I do, a thought, a say, a word, an act, I'm going to follow it right away with a good deed. I looked bad at someone. You know, I looked down at someone. Immediately I make dua for her or for him. This way, your right side, Ahlul Yameen, your scale is getting heavier and heavier. The heavier the scale, every good deed generate another good deed. And every sin generate another sin. You need to know that. Every sin generate another sin. And every good deed generate a good one. Three goals I will say for you. Keep the salah, add to it. Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to do every sunnah mu'akkada. Everyone that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam did, the whole 30 days. You do for 30 days, you'll take it with you. The more you do extras, the obligations are protected. Number one, make sure you read the Quran. You don't understand, doesn't matter. Read. Read, just read. Read and listen. It's barakah. And ask him to keep you understand. And the fasting, do your best to improve. I'm not going to tell you VVIP. I'm going to say, you know what? Let's get close to VIP. Maybe one day and two. And he will never let you down. Never let you down. And if you fail, and we all do, don't give up. Turn to him and says, you get me out of this. You brought me, and I want you to get me out. And see what he does for you. Subhana. May Allah keep you strong, Ya Rabbi Ameen.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. Absolutely. Yes. I think there is one here lower. Yes. The brother with the suit. You need to tell me when I stop. Maria.
Assalamu alaikum.
You need to tell me when to stop. Yes. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
My question is about the fine line between riya and good deeds.
The fine line between ostentation, riya, and a good deed. There is no fine line. It's completely two different things. Good deed is a good deed. But there is a good deed I do to be seen. That's riya. That's ostentation. So I come in here, and I am here speaking because everybody is looking at me. That's ostentation. Shirkun azghar. That's a small act of shirk association with Allah, and I'll get zero out of it. Every time you want to do a good deed, do it. If your immediate intention before you do it to please people, don't do it. But if you did it for Allah, and as you are doing, people noticed you, happens all the time when you go to the masjid, you know, or you're reading Quran alone, and suddenly somebody hears you and says, MashaAllah, you what a beautiful voice, keep going. If it gets into you, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move it away. If it becomes a habit, stop doing it in public. Well, riya is ma'al nas. Ostentation is with public. Do it privately and don't do it outside. And he, one of the things that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, seek refuge is from. أخوف ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الخفي. He said, what really I'm worried about you is the minor shirk. And they said, what is that? He said, الرياء, ostentation. We all love to be praised. And this is a time where riya is so difficult to fight. Why? Social media. How many likes? How many followers? How many retweets? And it is very hard to fight. But keep reminding yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that number and He can take it out in a second. Subhanallah. Yes. And I'll come back to you. Yes. The real istighfar? So the real istighfar and the real tasbih. There is not a real istighfar, and there's a fake istighfar and a real istighfar. I'm just kidding. How do you feel it? You feel it? So how do I know my istighfar is real? Right? How do I know my istighfar is real? Number one, what's your feeling? What are you asking Allah to have istighfar from? If you feel bad about what you did, your istighfar is genuine. If you are in big trouble, and you are asking Allah is way different than when you are not. So as long as you know Allah is seeing you, you know Allah is hearing you, you feel bad about what you are doing, your istighfar is genuine. Who was the genuine istighfar by excellence? Who was it? Come on, it's in the Quran. I'm sorry? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. No. Who? I can't hear you. He said it. Sayyidina Yunus. That's the istighfar par excellence, because he was in the middle of three darknesses. Have you seen a whale before? You better see one. So in the whale, huge, in the belly of the whale, inside the bottom of the ocean, in the night. How is he going to get out? But his istighfar was genuine. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Immediately, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So my istighfar, if you're crying, I'm going to give you practical. If you're crying, if you really feel bad about what you did, your istighfar is genuine. And it's usually when the istighfar comes in, you're genuine. Because normally the istighfar doesn't come. What's normally comes, لا إله إلا أنت, سبحانك اللهم. When do I say استغفر الله in the Arab world? When I'm upset. That's not genuine. But when I say astaghfirullah, or I can't even say it, and I'm crying, it's genuine. And work on it. You know the best way to make it genuine? Think of one sin you have done. One sin, one look, one movie, one word, one text. Think of it. You see what you did or what I did, then the istighfar will come with it. Tasbih, you don't need to feel is tasbih. Because what is it? Kalimatan, khafifatani ala lisan, habibatani lirrahman, thaqilatani fil mizan. Al hadith al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, it says, few words, very light on the tongue, very virtuous with Allah, very heavy in the scale. What is it? What is it? Subhanallah al-Azim or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Very light, but it's very heavy. Because the fact you glorify Allah, you don't have to think, why did you glorify? You glorify. Like when you look at something beautiful, like when I entered my room today and I looked at the sea, Subhanallah, that's how I said, Subhanallah. What does it mean? I glorified Him. And this is your creation. I think we are okay, I think.
We have exceeded the time.
I think so, yes, too.
We do apologize.
It's okay. We went 20 minutes above,
yeah.
But that's
we
okay.
I would like to thank, at the end, the Islam and Muslim Initiative for hosting this event. And Jazakallah khair.
خير
الجزاء دكتورة هيفا يونس على وجودك وعلى تلبية الدعوة وجودك معنا في هذا اليوم. I would like to thank the audience and we thank Dr. Haifa for being here with us tonight. Thank you.
جزاكم الله خيراً.